Jude chapter 1, 4 verses. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Precious Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the church. We thank you for your blood that was shed for the church. We thank you for the fact that we know you're coming back for our church. That you said that we without spot or blemish. And Father God, we just pray right now, Father God, that this church will be found that way. Not found perfect, because there's no perfect church, but a church that was that's found without spot and blemish, meaning the church that believes in Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice on Calvary. The song so say, do you believe, yes, that he was born, that he died, that our sins were forgiven, that he was resurrected on the third day? Father God, we want to be a church like that. And I believe that if through your word, that that's the church you're looking for. A church that knows Jesus. Father God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jude, the servant of God. You ever been to a church function and they have a speaker come in, guest preacher come in, and he give you his credentials. Okay? A noted conference speaker. I just copied some of this. Prolific author. Committed pastor. Seen on ABC and 2020 and CSBN and the History Channel. I'm talking about a certain pastor. I'm going to bring him up later. But they bring in all their credentials. They got a DD and a THD and a BA and a BA, whatever. Jude had a BA. And y'all know what a BA mean? Born again. That's all he came with. And anybody that's born again, he came in and said, Jude. Okay? Let me break this down a little bit. Called Thaddeus. Why did he call himself Jude? And then he gives a little bit more information about him. The servant of Jesus. Now, listen, folks. I don't care. Some of us in here got degrees and all kind of letters and stuff. If you're a Christian, and if you're a man and woman of God, and if you're a pastor of church with 25 members, or you pastor church with 10,000 members, you know what you are? You're a servant. You are a servant of Jesus Christ. And Jude said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to make sure you had the right Jew. Okay? He wanted to make sure you had the right Jew. Not Judas. Okay? Not a traitor. Not a hypocrite. He said, Jew, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. Okay? That's a picture of his humility. Who was Jude really? Really, Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. Okay? And most preachers would have not spared that. And they would have said, Jude, Jesus' brother. He said, Jude, servant of Jesus. How about that? Servant of Jesus, the brother of James. Now, watch who he's writing to. This is really, really, really interesting. Who is he writing to? You know why he's saying this? Because he says some folks ain't going to receive this. Some folks don't want to even hear this. I've given you my name. I've given you my office. He says, here's who I'm writing to. Those that are sanctified by the Father. What are you talking about? You hear the word sanctified? Sanctified. It's Friday. We was at sanctified church, supposedly. Okay. Sunday, we had a sanctified church. We still had a sanctified church. See, y'all? See, we get it all mixed up. Sanctified. Those that are learning. Those that are growing. Those that are continually asking God to forgive us of our sins. Those who are continually in a relationship with God. Those that are inwardly being cleansed and outwardly walking in a newness, in a new way. Not in a perfect way, but a new way. We better today than we were last week. I'm hopefully that the members of this church are stronger this year than they was in 2017. That's what it means to be sanctified. I'm growing in this godliness. I'm getting stronger by the day. I'm getting stronger because my relationship with God is being strengthened by me continually seeking and learning and praising God and studying God's word. Those that are sanctified by the Father and preserved in Christ. Meaning come what may. Not worried about it. I'm preserved in Christ. Think about it. Think about some of the things you preserve. Think about the ways you preserve things. Think about it. Think about it. Holiday season. Think about it. Think about how we preserve a ham. How about that? How we salt it down, and salt may be like putting that grace of God on it. Okay? Then we put it in wait, excuse me. Let me start over. Soak that thing in water. Okay, and the water is symbolic of God washing us in the water of His grace, and then we salt it down. Sometimes that salt and getting God's mercy, sometimes it's painful, and then we salt that ham down, we salt it down, and then we let it cure for a little while. Then what we do with it? Some of y'all have cured hams before. Then we fill it with that sugar and molasses and. She's always ahead of the game. Because I had to go and figure this thing out. But they put it in sugar and they molasses it. And then you got to find a bag that's big enough to hold it in. Oh, you cover it. And that sugar and the sugar and the molasses represents God's love. Amen. And then we covered it. We cover it and let it sit. That's preserved. We preserved in Christ. How many know you preserved in Christ? See, a lot of folks believe once you come, you can lose your salvation, you can lose your cover. You know, you make a mistake, you go out and do something, you know, it's against the things of God. Listen, folks, if that was the case, wouldn't nobody be going to heaven? Okay? God saved us. Okay? And you can't unsave yourself. Now, if you save yourself, you can unsave yourself. Okay? But if God saved you, okay, only God can unsave you, and God said He's not going to do that. He said those that are saved, in far as Ephesians 1 said, you are sealed till the day of redemption, to the day that I come back and get you. He's right to the sanctified, to preserve, and those that were called. I like that, called. Okay, those that were called. God called you. You didn't call on God. God called you, and then He gave you the faith to believe. Thank you, God, for calling me. Peter says we were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. How about that? So Jude is talking to the sanctified, to the preserved, and to the called. Let me read it. He says to the called, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and preserved in Jesus Christ. and called. Verse 2. I'm going to be on verse 3 for a minute. But what's the verse 2? Mercy unto you. How about that? Y'all know what mercy is. Not getting what we deserve. How many thank God for his mercy? How many have experienced God's mercy? Experienced God's mercy. God, listen. I know I've been a bad boy. Okay? I've been a bad man. I've been a bad woman. I've been a bad girl. But you know what? God is so merciful. And we say, thank you, Lord, for his mercy. God says, Judas said, mercy unto you. How about this? And peace. Mercy unto you in peace. Now remember, Jews writing to people that are in trouble, people that are being persecuted, people that are living in a fallen world, trying to live for God in a fallen world. And you know what we need most of all? Mercy and peace. Peace when we're facing the adversaries, and peace. How about this one? That dying peace. Okay? Amen. How about that? Dying peace. People say, well, there's all kind of peace, there's all kind of grace. There's a dying grace that we need when we face God. Then he says this, in love. In love. So many wonderful love songs over the years. We sing what the world needs now. Love, sweet love. How about that? Paul, Jesus said, mercy unto you and peace and love. Okay? You're going to be you gonna be merciful to somebody. Somebody done you wrong. Listen, shower that thing in love. You're going to forgive somebody. Forgive them in love. For God gave us. Forgave us in love. And he asked something on the end of verse number 2. He said, mercy unto you and peace and love. Then he said, be multiplied. Be multiplied. You need a lot of this. You need a lot of God's mercy. You need a lot of God's peace. You need a lot of God's love. And let it be multiplied. Peter would say, add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, knowledge. And to your knowledge, temperament. And to your temperament, love. And all that. We should be constantly adding to what God has given us already. To what God has given us already. Let's look at this. This interesting, fascinating, interesting third verse. This third verse. I got bogged down so much with this. But the first word he says, beloved. What a wonderful word. And when you look up that word means agape. That's a love that God has for us. A love that will never change. A never change. It will never be altered. God is saying this, that I agape love you. When we look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we see the results of that agape love that he what? Gave his only begotten son. And Jude is saying here, beloved. And you think about a mother, a father, when we was little, we're going to get this fatherly rebuke. We're going to get this gentle warning that we ought to not do something or we ought to do something. And the word is used in that way. That word is used in that way. When I look at it, I'm going to give you a few verses. I can give you so many because the word beloved is found so much in the Bible. But in 2 Corinthians 7, Paul's writing, and people say, well, Paul wasn't a loving preacher. Paul was so full of love. Watch what Paul says. And he's warning the folks about worldliness, okay? Because, you know, ain't nothing new under the sun. Don't let people lie to you and say the Bible's old-fashioned. It's an old book for old fogies. It's not. It's up to date. It's modern as a 2019 car. Okay? Having therefore these promises, watch this now. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He said to his beloved people, there's a behavior that is expected from us. Philippians, Paul gives a warning. He said, wherefore, my beloved, Philippians 2:12, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? Why? Because there's so many phonies out there, so many different ways to get to heaven. We talked about this morning what made the Sunday school lesson so fascinating. How many doors led into the ark? One. One door. And how many doors lead to salvation in this world? One. How
How many folks that teach the son different? You can get saved. You can get saved in a thousand different ways. But I only count one.
James warned his congregation. James was a preacher, and I believe he was a Baptist preacher. And James says in James 1:19, he said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Speaking to a church, be swift to hear. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to grow in godliness, you're going to grow in grace, you're going to grow in mercy, you got to hear something. We live in this experiences. You know, everybody getting, you don't get saved by an experience. Okay? You don't get saved by an experience. You get saved by hearing God's word. Okay? You don't get saved by spinning around on the floor. It's not in the Bible. And the word of God is teaching. He says, be careful. Okay? And John, in 1 John 4:1, watch this verse, and you guys need to know this. Because, you know, I was there Friday, and I sat next to my wife, and I'll be, look up, look down, look to the right, look to the left. And grab the person's hand on your right. I said, Chris, Cindy, if you grab my hand, I'll choke you. grab. Look up, look down. Get God some praise. Get God some worship. Get God. I'm like, man, I felt like I was in a roller coaster. Beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test the spirits. I don't know, folks. Maybe folks are testing me and say, hey, I'm getting out of here. Beloved. And Jude starts them off. Beloved. Watch this now. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Y'all stay with me. I hope this ain't difficult. It wasn't difficult for me to put together. But he said, when I sat down and thought about what I was going to preach to you. And Jesus, I wanted to preach to you about a common salvation. What's a common salvation? How many doors was in the ark? See? One, there's only one way to get saved. Okay? One way to get saved. One way. That's a common salvation. Here's Peter, the Apostle Peter, one of God's greatest men in the Bible that Jesus used. And here's Peter, right to his congregation, who's under attack, who's under Nero's rule. And Peter writes this in 2 Peter 1:1. Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, you saved the same way Peter was. You know, the same blood, the same Peter. Save Jeremy. Save Deacon Jeremy. Same blood. The same blood. The same blood that was shed on Calvary's cross is the same blood Peter calls a precious blood.
Amen.
Precious blood of Jesus. And Peter writing to the book of Acts says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way. That's a common salvation. And Jude wanted to write to his people about this common salvation. And something was bothering him. Something troubled him because he was hearing other things. And I'm troubled when I hear folks say there's another way to get saved. See, when we baptize someone, and you've been to a baptismal service, and before we drop them in the water, you don't get saved in the water.
Okay? There's nothing happening in the water. Okay? Now, ain't nothing happening in the water. So if you get in the water unsaved, you coming out unsaved. I don't care what kind of mumbo jumbo come out of your mouth. Okay? And you might be drowning and come out of the water. You might have water down your throat and lungs and anything may happen. But the key is upon the confession of your faith. Okay? Talk about faith. Upon the confession of your faith. Faith means what? Upon your confession that you believe that the song said that Jesus died. That Jesus was born of a virgin. He died on Calvary's cross. He was placed in a tomb for 3 days and he rose on the third day. Now, if you believe that, that's your confession. I believe that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for the sins of not only me, but the whole world. And he said, on the confession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name. That wonderful name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we drop you and you come up. And it's just symbolic. That's all it is. It's symbolic of the fact that you've made a public confession of Jesus and his work on Calvary. It is not. Man, I'm feeling like Jude. And I'm worried. I see some folks in there and I'm troubled. That the initial sign of you receiving the Holy Spirit is speaking in an unknown tongue. That's not true. That's not true. And people, they didn't recognize the church. To Pentecostals, Baptists going to hell. Oh, no, Pastor, listen, to a Pentecostal who believes that you need to speak in tongues in order to be saved, if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. And I have not spoken tongues. Okay? Now, I don't want none of y'all to go, I better go speak in tongues because I'm going to go to hell according to the Pentecostals. No. According to the Bible. According to the Bible, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto me, unto the Father, but by me. Jesus never spoke in tongues. For God so loved the world. Here's how you get to heaven. Here's your confession of faith. And you can get baptized after this. You can get baptized after you believe in John 3:16. Okay? You don't believe in John 3:16, you don't need to get in the water.
Amen.
Because ain't nothing in the water. Ain't nothing in the water. Iron and sulfur. For God so loved the world. Here's your confession of faith. Here's how you're saved. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever trusts in him and believe in him and commit his life to him, in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen. I'm gonna tell you what's hot. Okay. Hot don't mean right. Okay. I'm gonna tell you what people run into, and some of you have experienced it all. Now. Here's a guy. He's a pastor. Large church. He don't mind if I tell you his name. Okay? Because this is what he says. And maybe one of y'all may leave here and go there. His name is Pastor Tom Brown. And he's not the pastor of Texas. Now he's a pastor. Now watch this confession. He's saved now. Watch this now. Just what I read off the internet. This is his calling card. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the First Assembly of God Church in Montana. The preacher asked for those wishing to dedicate themselves to the ministry to come forward for prayer. The first to come forward was a tall, slender fellow named Timmy. Now, I got me a little bit worried. I thought, this is his own words. If Timmy can go forward, I can too. So I follow him down to the front of the podium. Without notice, something invisible hit Timmy. And down he went on the floor. Almost immediately, something hit me too. Down I went, prostrate on the ground, and I began to weep uncontrollably. God's presence was all over me. This went on for several minutes. The thought occurred to me. Now watch this next, watch the next thing he says. This must be what my church has been talking about all these years. Let me stop there for a second. Nowhere do you talk to your Pentecostal tongue-speaking folks. Talk to them about Bible study. Talk to them about open up the scriptures and explaining what it means. And all they know is experiences. Oh, I experienced it. I had this. And they don't even talk to you. Cindy's tongue-speaking folks don't even have a whole conversation with me. And my tongue-speaking friends that I know, they don't want to talk to you about it. What are they going to talk to you about? You ain't never experienced the Holy Spirit. You're a heathen to them. Some of y'all experienced that. You can't get them to talk, teach nothing. They all want to talk about my experience. My experience, watch this now. This must be what my church has been talking about all these years. What has happened to me must be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what they've been teaching them all these years? You need to get baptized in the Spirit. You need to speak in tongues. And now this man goes down there, falls on the ground, starts speaking in tongues. Now watch this now. No sooner did I think that when I heard this scripture in my mind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then I speak in other tongues. I reasoned in my mind, and right then I began speaking in other tongues, and I haven't stopped yet. And this man is the president of a Christian, of a Bible college. Okay? That's his testimony. That's how he came to know Jesus. The Holy Spirit was all over him. All over him. See, folks, let me tell you something. Now this verse ought to break the hearts of many preachers. Be true to the Word of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. We had the biggest church in town. We had buses. We was doing big things. Then I was professed unto them. Watch this now. I never knew you. Depart from me. Ye that work iniquity. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. You're not saved by the Spirit of God just getting all over you. Getting all over you, hit the floor and speaking in tongues. And you're not going to say, you're not saved before you get in the water. Ain't no use getting in the water. Ain't no use getting in the water. And if your profession of faith is that you got the water and you spoke in tongues when you came out, that's so sad. I hope and pray that you, just after you do all that and you keep hearing the Word of God, that you do become born again. Because Ephesians gives you the formula. I give you the formula over and over and over. I know I get redundant with it, but I'm going to give it to you one more time. Because this is what Jude is saying. He said, it was needful. See, Jude said it was needful. It was needful for me to write unto you. Listen. How many seen that word needful before in the Bible? Think about that word needful before I go to Ephesians 2. Remember when Mary and Martha was so busy. Busy. And Mary was getting some word. Mary was at Bible study. Mary was praising and worshiping God. And Martha tried to tell Jesus, just tell him to stop and help me. And in Luke 10 and 42, God says to Mary in the person of Jesus, but one thing is needful. See, one thing is needful. You can run all week long. And run. Folks, run on. So busy, so tired, can't get up to church. Can't get to Bible study. Oh, that chair was holding me down. But one thing is needful. Jesus is saying not only to Mary, but unto us. One thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let me tell y'all something, folks. All that stuff keeping you away from God's house, keeping you away from Bible study, keeping you from praying, keeping you from praising God. Oh, I got 101 reasons. You know one thing? All that's going to be taken away.
Amen.
All that's going to be taken away.
Amen.
Nothing in my hands I bring.
Yes.
Simply to the cross I cling. We so busy.
Amen.
We so busy. Listen, I would dare. You know, folks, I don't know how you do it. How do you do Bible study? You pray all the time, Sunday school and Bible study, Wednesday night. There ain't nothing else to do. What I'm supposed to do? One thing is needful. If it ain't needful to me, it ain't gonna be needful to you.
Okay,
listen. I know I'm all wound up.
Right.
Here's Paul. Here's Paul, Philippians 1. This is just so. I call it romantic, but I'm spiritually romantic. Okay, spiritually romantic. Paul says this. He said, "For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain." How about that? "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I what not. For I am in a strait between two." Watch this. Watch Paul's desires. He had enough. Folks, I'm tired of getting hit on a hammer rocks. I'm tired of being whipped and beaten. I'm tired of spending nights in jail trying to preach God's words. Paul said, "But I have a desire to depart. Having a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. Far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." For you. How about that? Paul, preaching and suffering. But you're suffering doing something you love. Paul said, "It's needful for me to stay here with you." Let's go back to Ephesians 2. Because preachers is teaching all these different ways to go to heaven. Number one. One door in the ark. One door to go through. What did Jesus say in John? "I am that door. I am the door." Paul says this. And Paul was a heathen. Paul was a hater, a persecutor, a wicked man, chief of sinners. He know what saved him. He know it wasn't no mumbo jumbo. Okay? He know it wasn't no mumbo jumbo, and he know Paul said, I ain't baptized with a few of y'all. Paul wasn't getting into that whole baptism, come out of water, shouting and speaking and all this stuff. Paul said, "Listen, I thank God I only baptized two.
Okay.
Don't put me in that mess." Paul says this, "Here's how you get saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works." And then if we true to ourselves, most of that stuff is works. There's nowhere in the Bible where people spoke in tongues on their own. "Well, I'm going to speak in a tongue." The Holy Ghost moved them.
Amen.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm going to start speaking in a tongue. For what? Everybody here understand English. I'm about to bring something to myself. And you know, go over there and speak to them. The folks from Honduras coming over here, go preach to them. Okay, let me give you one more. Here's how you get saved. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." Confession, the Lord Jesus, complete. Death, burial, and resurrection. "And believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead." The resurrection. Thou shalt be saved. Okay? And then you can say, once you can make that confession, and then when you say that, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation," and then you can sing the old hymn, "Take me to the water, take me to the water to be baptized." But if there ain't no Ephesians 2:8-9, Romans 10:9-10, there ain't no going to the water. And if you go down, there's going to be a wet devil going in and a wet devil coming out. That's it. Ain't no take me to the water. Okay? Forget it. Let's keep going with this. One more thing. And I take stuff personal. I take the word of God personal. Don't play with me. Okay? Don't play with me. Remember the song. I thought about this. And I was raised. Y'all forgive me. I was raised. I was just raised. We didn't have all these stations like today, like we have today. We only had a few stations. Okay? But there was a song. There was a song that we listened to. Not me and Cindy. But I sing this song to her in my mind. Harold Melvin, the Blue Note song. He said, "Don't leave me this way." Okay? Y'all remember that song? "Don't leave me this way. I can't survive. No, I can't what? Stay alive?" All that. I ain't going to go too far with it, y'all think I mean. But, when we talk about this false faith, false believers. Now, when I hear somebody say, "You can't be saved unless you're speaking a crazy language," I think about Billy Graham. I think about Martin Luther King. I wonder if Martin Luther King is speaking in tongues. I doubt it. Spurgeon, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, John Knox. These were great men of God. And people say, "Well, they didn't speak in tongues." You know why? Because nobody was until 1906. And they had a Zulu Street church, and this man, Parnham, came in, and they didn't want to start speaking in tongues. See, they're not new under the sun. They weren't speaking in tongues. Okay? And it's just fake. Then we go to this. Go to this with me. Here's a verse. Y'all familiar with it? Because I heard this. And I know. This is what I told y'all. This is... Go to Mark 6. Watch this. See if this triggers your memory. Here's Mark 6, verse 54. Okay. Yeah, I'm upset. All right. And when they, Mark 6, 54. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. They knew it was Jesus. And ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. Okay? They heard Jesus coming. And with Jesus coming, they knew he had the power to heal. Okay? So folks start getting in their SUVs and getting the church vans and going to the hospital just dragging folks out. Still got IVs on them. Get in the van. Jesus is coming in the power to heal. Listen, folks, listen. Tell y'all something. Guess what? Be careful with this stuff. Try the spirits by the spirits. And they ran through that whole region about, began to carry about in bed those that were sick, where they heard he was. Okay? Stay with me. And whithersoever he entered into the cities, into the village, into the cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the street and besought him that they might touch it. If they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. What's happening here? Jesus had the power to heal. Okay? Jesus had the power to heal. And anyone, turn right, turn left, look up, look down, look left, look right. Are you there? None of that. Okay? Listen, so don't tell me, listen, the power of God to heal is in this place. Wait a minute.
Calm down. It ain't changed.
Wait a minute. How is the power of God to heal in this place? And you got a dead man in front of you that you ministered to for months. Come on now. Listen, God's power did not disappoint. In Luke 7, watch this now. In Luke 5, brother, in verse 17, watch this now. Now, y'all stay with me. I know this might be a little under your skin a little bit, but I need to get under your skin a little bit. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and folks and all over. Just like a funeral today. But watch what the text say. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Okay? Now I'll jump all the way down. We know the story. The man came with the palsy and they couldn't get through the door. They couldn't get through the windows. They had to get up on the roof and they came through. And when Jesus, Bible says in verse 20, saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Now here's me sitting here. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive but God alone? But when Jesus perceived in their thoughts and mind, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man have power upon earth to forgive. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch and go thou house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that upon he lay and departed to his house, glorifying God. Let me tell you something. If the power of God is here, you in a church and a man of God said, the power of God to heal is here. Watch out. Now I'm sitting around looking at this stuff, man. I got burning over here. Bad heart, bad shoulder. I got Kitty over there, can't hardly stand up. Walkers all throughout the church. Everybody in the church was old. Okay? Everybody in the church was sick. Everybody in church had something going on. Diabetes, cancer, blood pressure. I mean, there's a whole lot of sick folks there. Let me tell you something. Don't play with me. The power of God is here to heal. Oh, come on now. This sciatic nerve is killing me. I'm ready now. Okay, Mount Calvary, do your thing. Folks couldn't get in an elevator. Folks couldn't even walk up the steps. Had to take the elevator. And you know what? The power of God was there to heal. You know what? The elevator was full. When the service was over, folks still need the elevator. Okay? Folks still grabbing for their walkers. Still grabbing for their canes. Don't play with this. Don't play with people. See, God's power is real. Jesus went out to a funeral. Jesus went to a funeral. He was on his way to the funeral. The Bible says he was on his way to a funeral in name. And many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he had come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Come on now. Listen, dude, I'm looking at these folks. I'm looking at the whole family, folks. Listen, you sit here and preach. This man had a great faith here in the evidence. All this. Touch that casket. If the power of God to heal was here. Stop playing with people. Touch the casket, preacher. And Jesus had compassion on her and saw her weep not. Now I didn't bury a whole lot of y'all's loved ones. I didn't bury a whole lot of y'all's loved ones. How dare I stand up here and say the power of God to heal is in this place? Some of y'all still hurting. Power of God heals here. And he came and touched the bar, touched the casket, and they that bear him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Arise. I don't know. That's what it means. Say the power of God is here. Stop playing with people. People really sick. People really looking for healing. Pay a whole lot of money for healing. Sending money to these folks all over the world trying to get a healing. Coretta Scott King was sick. She had some type of cancer in her. Couldn't do nothing in America. They got a preacher over in Mexico. They shipped her over there and she died. Let me tell you something, folks. The best way to get healed, the best way to defeat death is to be ready for it.
Amen.
Listen, it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. You can't turn, you can't undo God. All of us in here are going to get sick and die. And if you know the Lord, Paul said, I'd rather depart. Okay? Ain't nothing wrong with dying. Folks say, I don't want to die. Ain't nothing wrong with dying. Only thing wrong with dying is dying unsaved. See, the only problem with dying is dying unsaved. That's the only problem with dying. Ain't no problem with dying. I don't get looking forward to it. What you want to stay here for? Jesus said this. He's getting ready to preach. Look what he says in verse 3. One more time. I ain't going to get past 3. I'm almost done here. He said, It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It was once delivered. What's that mean, Pastor? It was delivered once, and there's just one way. And Jesus is that way. That has not changed. In 1906, and Azusa didn't change God's word. There's only one way. And the evidence of you being saved is not some mumbo jumbo. The evidence of you being saved is that you trust and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. Isn't that hard? It's not hard. But see, the word of God speaks to it. I'm just preaching. Okay? Paul says to Peter, to Timothy, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, y'all know we live in the latter times. Okay? See, these preachers know y'all don't want to hear nothing. They know y'all don't want to hear nothing. They know y'all, y'all are sitting at home watching green tea. That's what I call it. Sit at this green leaf. Okay? Listen, that ain't real. That ain't real. That's blasphemous. Okay, that's blasphemy. Y'all watching green leaf. Okay? Now the Spirit speaketh. You don't hear them talking about Jesus neither. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Look around. Baptist folks leaving Baptist churches going to Victory? What does that tell me? You don't know nothing. Know what Victory says? Here's the off the Assemblies of God. This is off their website. That's Assembly of God Church. See, I know this. You know, I'm going to Victory. Listen, you're not going to Victory. Okay? You're going to defeat. Okay?
Amen.
Okay? You're not going to Victory. The only way to Victory is through Jesus Christ. They call it Victory because Satan disguises himself as an angel of life. Here's right off the Assembly of God. Let me read it. The official website of the Assemblies of God. That's an Assemblies of God church. Okay? We believe. This is off their website. I'm not making this stuff up. We believe Speaking in tongues is the unmistakable initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Huh? How you leave a Baptist church and go there? You know how you knew that? Because you don't know nothing. And church don't mean nothing to you. And you're on a wide road and you're on the way to defeat, not victory. So I hear, that was over a rising star. And I know Pastor Frost was preaching the gospel. And then when it changed up, the folks went to victory. Well, how you get in the Baptist church 20 years ago to a Seminary of God church? That's unheard of. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. Okay? You sit here in the Baptist church and go to a Seminary of God church, you don't know nothing about the Word of God. Because you believe that's the only way to get to heaven. And you believe if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. I know. They ain't going to teach you that on Sunday morning. They're going to entertain you. They got comfortable seats there. They got a restaurant in there. You can go in there and get you a hot coffee. And you can drink coffee while the preacher preaching. And all that stuff. Whatever. Okay. I'm not going to be like Hugh Jackson. Y'all know who the Hugh Jackson is? Amen. See, he's the coach of the Browns. He got fired. See, if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired preaching what I want to preach. Because I'm not going to quit. So I get a letter in the mail, a certified letter. I'm going to church. I'm good. It's for the church. Well, we want more people. We want a bigger church. We want people to come. And we believe that you preaching like you do, folks, they going to come. Well, you know, I understand. Don't worry about taking up a vote. Send me the letter. But until I get the letter. Okay. I'm going to preach like a dying man to dying people. Because I know some of y'all here, I ain't going to preach everybody out of church. Well, you know what? Okay. It's a narrow road to lead to heaven, and few be on that road. But listen. Preachers ought to be fighters. They ought to be smooth talking, shiny teeth, nice haircut, smiling all the time, smelling good. I ain't get that close to them. Listen what Paul said to Timothy before he was dying, before he get his head cut off. Paul got his head cut off. Y'all know that, right? Okay. He told Timothy this. He said, Timothy, listen. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Many witnesses. Okay? Y'all know what the testimony of this church is? I'm all over there. Brother over there, preach hard over there. He be sweating. They don't even pay him. Preach like that. They ain't gonna pay the preacher, they ain't gonna pay the musician. They over there. Oh Lord. Lord have mercy. Okay? That's what the word of God said. Fight the good fight. Timothy, fight the good fight. Watch this now. I'm gonna be done. Here's a good one. 2 Timothy 4. Now, 2 Timothy, he really close to getting his head cut off. And here's what Paul says. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm preaching against some stuff. I'm preaching all. Jesus is the only way. I didn't preach it. Henceforth, come on now. Henceforth, there's laid up for me. For me. Then that for you. This for me. Paul said, this for me. If you're going to get it, this is going to be for you. He said, I have laid up, there's therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness. See? Which the Lord, and not the church, this ain't the pastor anniversary. I know they're giving out crowns to preachers on pastor anniversary, walking them down the aisles in chariots and stuff. Got a big old chair up here they covered in gold and stuff. Listen, no, I don't want that one. I don't want that crown. Listen, on Greenleaf, they're drinking Crown Royal. Preacher. I'm saying, hey, that's what they do at the mega churches. I ain't know they drink Crown Royal. I watched that for 15 minutes, seen enough. I'm like, who? Okay. Listen, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord. Come on now. The righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let me tell y'all something. This is why I preach like I do. Listen. Say that. It's so good to know Jesus. Okay? See, you're going to love his appearing when you love him before he come. You ain't going to love his appearing if you don't love him before he come. See, you're not getting ready. Okay? Y'all sing that song. I want to be ready. When the Lord comes, let me tell you something. You're not getting ready running out to meet the Lord with one sock in your hand, trying to put your lipstick on and comb your hair. No. I want to be ready. Okay? When the Lord comes. Let me give you one more and I'm close. Okay. Paul said this. This is how you get ready. He said this in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Don't let nobody tell you that the power of God heals here and everybody leave out of this thing. Okay? Let me say, my foot still hurt. All right? And I'm like, listen, the power of God ain't here. That makes you a false teacher. Because the power of God that heals here, everybody gonna be healed. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Listen. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Not in water. None in the water. Sulfur. Sulfur and iron and all kind of chemicals. None in the water. Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for Jude. We thank you, Jude said, contend for the faith. Fight for it. It's worth fighting for. Because everybody ain't going to hear it. Some folks going to hear it. The Bible says if they could convince God's elect, they would try. But God's elect, prayfully, you guys are God's elect. He said, no man will pluck them out of my hand. Listen, folks. The fact that he said no man will pluck them out of my hand don't mean they ain't going to try. He holding on to us tight. And we have a responsibility to hold on to God tight. He hold us tight, we hold him tight. God is good.